Matthew Henry, when he was commentating upon the book of Jude, he states that this book is designed to warn us against seducers and their seduction, to inspire us with a warm love too, and a hearty concern for truth. He emphasizes that it is evident and important truth. The writer of this book, or this epistle, is Jude. Jude was a very common name in Bible times. It stems from the son of Jacob, who was called Judah. That is the Hebrew term of that name. The Greek term was Judas. And there was the disciple of Christ, Judas Iscariot. And also the English definition of that name is Jude. And that is what we have before us this morning. The Gospels, as I've mentioned, we've read of Judas, who was the man who betrayed the Saviour. It is probably obvious that this man did not write this epistle. It was another Judas or another Jude who penned these words. There are those, and there's varying differences of opinion, who this man Jude was. Some believe that he was the brother of Christ. It says in the verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. It's believed that this man was the brother of James, who was also the brother of Christ. You turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and the verse 3. There are those who are speaking of Christ, and they say, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? The brother of James and of Judah. Lord Jesus Christ was the son of the Virgin Mary. Joseph was not his earthly father, but Christ's father was heavenly. He was the Son of God. But he had other brethren and other siblings, as it were, on this earth. And these are those who we have mentioned in this verse 3. And there are those who believe that Judah is Jude, who wrote the book bearing his name. Jude styles himself as the servant of Jesus Christ, noting the Christ to signify the deity of Jesus. Christ was the anointed one. He was God who became man. He was the servant of God who did die for the sins of his people. Some servants and slaves were bought with money. They were bought with a price. Others were won in battle. And we are born into the family of God as servants to do the work of the Master. That is what Jude was. He was born into the family of God to do the work of his Master. If he was indeed the brother of Christ, or the half-brother, to use more specific terms, he was very humble, because he said that he was, in verse 1, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. He doesn't say that he was the brother of Jesus Christ. And if it is so the case that this man is the brother of Christ, he is very humble. Because if he said that he was the brother of the Son of God, the Messiah, his book, his letter, would have a great sway of importance, and people would have a great desire and a zeal to read it and to hold it in high esteem because of his family relations. But he says that he was the brother of James, but he was the servant of Jesus Christ. And we ought to hold the whole Bible in reverence. We ought to hold the whole Bible in self-esteem, because it is the inspired word of God. It doesn't matter that Jude wrote this book. It doesn't matter whether Jude was the brother of Christ or not, because it is the inspired word of God. It is the word of God given to us by inspiration through the pen of this man, Jude. He was the servant of God. The Lord's work was his burning passion, his consuming burden. He wanted to instruct the people he was writing to. And we, in reading this chapter, we see that he is speaking about those who have crept in unawares, those apostates who crept into the Church of Christ and were preaching their false doctrine. He is warning Christ, or warning the people of Christ, of those days leading up to the Lord's return, of men who will creep in and preach a false gospel and a false doctrine. The church at that time believed that it was living in the last days. And these have been the last days for some 2,000 years now. And people in those days believed that Christ would return quickly. That was not the case, but the Saviour will return someday in his will. The false prophets have arisen in the church throughout history. The Epistle of Peter speaks, 2 Peter speaks of those apostates that are coming in the future. But Jude says that those apostates, those who are false prophets, are already found in the church. He says, for there are certain men crept in on a word. That is past tense, present tense. He is saying that these people are in the church and not in the future coming into the church. Yes, there will be false prophets in the future, but there have been false prophets in the past, and there are false prophets in our present. God has a work for us to do, and the Church of Christ has been raised up to do that work. And churches have been raised up to undertake the great task the Master has for us. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, we have been sanctified and set apart for a purpose, and that is to serve the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and the chapter 1. Well, notice the verse 17 and the verse 19. Sorry, the verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ for a purpose and for a reason. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is our task to run the race, to run with patience the race, the path that God has set out for us. That brings me to our first point this morning, which is our duty as saints, our duty as saints, our duty as those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Notice verse 3. It says, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude was writing, and he said that we ought to contend for the faith. That is our duty as saints. Believe that when Jude was writing this epistle, firstly it says that he gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It's believed that he wanted to speak to the people he was writing to of the common salvation, of the salvation that God gave to his people. We are saved by a common salvation. That word common does not mean in the sense we would walk down a street and we would see people and maybe our reaction is they look very common. But that is not the case here. The common salvation means that everyone who has believed is saved by the same salvation. Saved by the same grace of God. Purchased and redeemed by the same blood of Christ. Saved in the same way. There is only one way by which we can have eternal life. That is what Jude means here. It's believed that he wanted to write about this salvation to those in the church. But he found it needful to write unto them about another matter. To exhort them about something else. To tell them to contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. To contend for it. Because of those who would creep in unawares. We'll come to dealing with those apostates later on. But Jude tells the people he's writing to contend for the faith. He is saying that it is needful for me to write unto you to tell you these things. Contending for our faith is not just a good idea. It's not a bright idea. It's not something that we can avoid. It's not something that we can decide to do if we so wish. Contending for our faith is a necessity. It's a necessity. Our faith is a necessity. Our faith was once delivered unto the saints. What does that statement mean? Our faith is through the salvation purchased by Christ. There was no other way to accomplish our redemption apart from the suffering of Christ. And our faith was once delivered unto the saints. The plan of God in salvation for all time still needs to be completed. I say that because there are souls who in the plan of God will come to Him for salvation in the future, and they have not done so at this point. There are those who will be saved, if the Lord wills, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now. But the work of God that permits souls to be saved, the work of salvation, the finished work of Christ on the cross, it's completed. Nothing needs to be added to it, and nothing needs to be taken away from it for a soul to be saved. That is what Jude means here. It was once delivered. And while there are those who still need to come to Christ in the divine plan of God, the work that allows that has been completed. The message of the gospel is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. It has not changed. It does not need to change. And Christ is the same Saviour today as He was when this epistle was written. Matthew Poole puts it well, speaking of the common salvation as those things which concern the salvation of us all in common, or that salvation which is common to us all. There being but one salvation for all believers and one way to it. The word beloved, start of verse 3, means to be loved of God. We are our Lord's beloved, His people. We are His people. The word exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. That means to plead or persuade. To contend means to stand agonizingly or seriously for something that you believe in. The faith is the doctrines that we believe in. We'll look at that later on. But the faith is the doctrines which we believe. It is, as it were, contained in the Word of God. What Jude is saying then to us is that it is a necessity for me to write on to you, to write on to the church, to tell you to earnestly stand agonizingly and seriously for the doctrines of the Word of God. That is our duty presented here as saints and believers. I want us to look at this duty of standing for our faith. The Christian has other duties as well. We ought to love our brethren. We ought to seek to fulfill the commission of Christ that was given to His church for reaching the lost. But I want us to focus our duty this morning, specifically on standing for the faith. Jude was writing to a particular audience. We've touched on this. Many of the epistles in Scripture were written to churches. There was the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi. There were also letters written to specific individuals. There was Titus, there was Timothy, and there was Philemon. Book of Jude was written by a man called Jude, but it was not as Timothy, Titus to a person called Jude. Jude wrote to a particular audience. The actual body of believers that he wrote to is unknown. It could have been a letter to a specific church. It could have been a general letter to the Church of Christ, distributed, as it were, to all those churches at that time. We do not know. But we know this, that it is applicable to us today, as it was in the day that it was written. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, firstborn and brother of James, that is who is writing. Then he says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. That is who he is writing to. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. Sanctification is that work of God's free grace whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. It is that work that follows the act of justification. Justification is the means by which we are saved. When all our sins are pardoned and we are accepted as righteous in the sight of God. To be sanctified, we have to be justified. And justified is that work of salvation. Jude was writing unto those who believed in Christ. To those who are saved. To those who knew their sins forgiven. That is who the letter was written to. And it applies to us today. To those who are saved by the grace of God. To those who have been washed in the precious blood of the Saviour. This verse is applicable to all. It is written to every saint of God. And what God is saying through the words of Jude applies to us today. And probably especially today, going by the state of churches and various false prophets in our land and further afield. It is just as important for an ordinary believer to take this message to their heart than it is for a preacher or a minister or some man or woman who is directly involved in the work of God. It is applicable to every saint and every believer. It is our responsibility to contend for the faith. It is the responsibility of the minister of this church to contend for the faith. It is the same responsibility of myself to contend for the faith. And it is still the same level of responsibility for God's people in this meeting this morning to contend for the faith. To contend for the faith. Spurgeon, when he was preaching the Metropolitan Tabernacle, he said this about contending for the faith. He said, how are we to expect the gospel to be kept alive in the world if we do not hand it down to the next generation as the former generation handed it down to us? May it never be said a century hence that the people of 1880 never thought of us in 1980. They let the gospel go. They allowed the doctrines to be denied one after the other. That can apply to us today. We can say this morning, may the people 100 years from now in 2109 never say of us here in 2009 that we allowed the gospel and its doctrines to go, that we did deny them, that we did not hold them in the high esteem that they ought to have been held. May they remember that this generation earnestly contended for the faith and handed down those doctrines that are crucial to our faith. It may never be said, even 10, 20, 30 years from now, that we neglected our responsibility and our duty as believers. What do we do when we contend for the faith? We stand up for what we find in the Word of God. We hold to it fast. We believe it. And we seek to present that truth to others. There are different ways in which we can contend for the faith, depending on our position in the church. We can pray for those who are actively involved. We can encourage those who are actively involved in presenting the gospel. We can stand against those who are trying to pervert the Word of God and to change it into the words of a man. We contend for the Word of God when we stick to what it says and we do not add to it and we do not take away from it. We contend for the faith when we give out gospel literature to friends, family, neighbours and strangers. We contend for the Word of God when we spread the message of the gospel and we resist the errors of the day and call it for what it is. This is our business and responsibility as God's people, to be active in the work of God. There are sinners, think upon this, there are sinners in this world. There are sinners in this village. There are sinners in this country who perhaps will have no contact with any Christian believer apart from yourselves. It's coming up to the holiday season and you may be jetting off to some exotic locations across the globe. I do not know. But if you're there on holiday, you could be the only Christian who has contact with some unsaved person in that place. I was in Lanzarote some 6 years ago and I was down at every home crusade just a couple of weeks previous to get some tracks with a few friends for some outreach here in Ulster. And I noticed that they had tracks of various languages. Portuguese tracks, Spanish tracks. And I got some of them to take with me to Lanzarote, and those tracks, we left some in the villa we were staying in. We put some around the airport in various places, but we were talking to a Muslim who was running a shop not far from where we were staying. We were talking to him and he was interested in what the Christian belief was and interested in the fact that my father was a minister, and we were talking to him. And I, of course, said I have those Spanish tracts and Spanish, I think it was, Gospels of John back at the village. We went the next day and we gave that literature to that man. We have not heard of him since. I do not know where he is today, but he had the gospel in his hand. Perhaps a similar situation could arise with yourselves. Being the only Christian somebody has contact with, may just be simply handing them a piece of literature, even while you're on holiday. But it can be a work done for the Lord that can bear great fruit in days to come. We ought to contend for the faith. We are not to contend furiously in the sense of fighting for our faith. We are not to contend and persecute other religions in the sense of doing things violently. We are to show our love and compassion as the Lord's people throughout, contending for the faith. Then that brings me to my second point, which is the doctrines of Scripture. Galatians chapter 1 and the verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the course of, or pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul is saying, if any man preach another gospel let him be accursed. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. We are contending for the gospel, our doctrines and our faith and our belief in them. Doctrines of Scripture, the doctrine of a God. There is a God. If we do not believe there is a God, then we cannot believe in a creation by God. And a rebellion against God leading to the imputation of sin into the race of Adam. We're contending for the Scriptures. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. Each verse. In fact, every word is inspired by the Lord. We are contending for it. We ought to have that respect and reverence for it. There are many who have treated the Word of God with contempt and have cast it aside, as it were. But we ought to treat it with the respect and honour that it deserves. Paul preached the doctrine, and our time is moving on, but he preached the doctrine that Christ suffered for our sins that we might be justified through His blood. Scriptures tell us the truth about our God and Saviour. We ought to stick closely to them. We ought to believe those doctrines. There are doctrines, of course, that God's people will differ on. There are doctrines that God's people will perhaps disagree on. There are issues like the millennium reign of Christ and baptism that have open views in our denomination. They're not issues that we ought to fall out over, but we ought to respect each other's views concerning those things. But the doctrines that change the gospel or alter our view of Scripture, the doctrines that will perhaps affect the evangelistic efforts of our church, ought to be avoided. Views that will affect our presentation of the gospel. Many have been led astray by false doctrines. Many have fell in the bypath meadow. There was a preacher in Wales, Christmas Evans. He was the one-eyed preacher of Wales. When he was a youth, his eye was put out. He was a great preacher. He was a well-known household name at that time. But he fell into fellowship with a doctrine. Could have been Sundayism, I think. I may be wrong on that. But he fell into fellowship with it. And it altered his preaching. It altered the passion by which he proclaimed the truth of Scripture. And he was not the same mighty preacher that he was until he got rid of that doctrine. And when that happened, he preached with greater power than he did before. We ought then to study the Word of God. We ought to learn about what we believe. We ought to know what the Bible is teaching us concerning the teachings of Christ and the doctrines therein. We are not, I suppose, we cannot be great theologians, but we can know what we believe and why we believe it. If there is a doctrine presented before you, you do not know whether it is right or whether it is false, then take the Word of God, test it to the Word of God. And if the Word of God tells you something different, cast away that doctrine. Never see it again. We ought to test things by the Word of God. We ought to be careful about the doctrines that we hold to. We ought to be very, very careful. The church in the early days, in the early centuries of it, many doctrines crept in and the church became or changed from what it was to a system of works, a system of idolatry, a system that did not know what the true gospel was. May that never happen to us. We have to contend continually or we will lose a generation. We have to pass that message on. Then finally notice the danger of Satan. Turn back with me to Jude. Time is almost gone, but we'll look at this quite briefly. Jude and the verse 3, the verse 4. Jude is saying, and this is why he wrote his epistle. He wanted to warn people of those who were coming in with false doctrine, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. There are certain people in the church who in this day and age did not know the Lord. They denied Christ and they brought in various doctrines and various teachings that led away from the gospel of Christ. False prophets that would blindly lead blind souls to eternal death. We ought to be careful of such things. We are warned about them. We ought to stand against them. An apostate is one who once held to the truth, but no longer does. The condemnation was foretold. The Lord will destroy such people. The Lord knows who these people are. There are certain men. Certain men. These people are marked by the Lord. How do we know who these people are? We ought to mark their conduct. They are ungodly. They refuse to submit to the Lord. They refuse to hold to the truths of Scripture. And they do what they want with their lives, denying the only Lord God. The Lord is the sovereign God, the Creator, the promised Messiah. And these people crept in unawares by the people of God and they denied Christ. We ought to be careful today of what will happen. The Lord, in the book of Matthew, when he was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, he said in the verse 21, speaking about, as it were, those who were false prophets, he said, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Then he will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." On that last day, those who have taught doctrines in the church, those who have being those false professors, will be judged by the Lord. Many will say that they are the people of God. Many will say they speak of Christ. Many will say they speak for the Lord. But Christ will say, "I never knew you. You were never one of my flock. You were never one of my children. You have not been washed in my blood. Depart from me." Jude had that great compassion, that great zeal, that great care and burden for the people he was writing to and for the Church of Christ in every day and generation to warn them of such things that would come. And he is warning us, the Word of God is warning us of such things. May we not be ashamed to contend for the gospel of Christ. May we put every doctrine to the test to make sure it is of God. May we pass the message of the gospel on to the next generation. May we be aware of the danger of Satan. Those men who will come in, creep in, unawares, put them to the test. And if they are not of Christ, cast them out. May we contend with a passion for Christ and with a compassion for lost souls. In closing, let me say, Isaac Watts said these words in the hymn, "Then let my soul march boldly on, press forward to the heavenly gate. There are peace and joy, eternal reign, and glittering robes for conquerors wait." One day, we, the Lord's people, will go to that home in heaven. We will march through the gates of that celestial city to live there forever, serving our Lord and our Master. But on this earth, may we work for Him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let us contend and be aware to stand. May this church be on fire for the Lord and stand today in that evil age. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to us this morning. We'll just